So most of you can see this. Some of you who are in the back might not be able to quite as well. We have a giant life raft sitting over here. And I wanted this up on stage tonight because several years ago, I was exposed to a game, or maybe you could call it like a thought exercise, called kind of like the life raft game. And the idea of the life raft game is that you have five people, and each one of these people has an occupation. And so we'll say one's like a teacher, and one's a doctor, maybe one's a pastor, one could be like a professional athlete, and one could be a mechanic. And so they're all hanging out in this life raft. The problem is this life raft only seats four people, and we have five. And so the challenge is, who's going to get thrown out of the life raft and have their own Titanic, I'll never let go moment? The way this game works is like, normally what we would do is we would assign, like we'd have five people up here and we'd assign each of them the profession, and then they would debate why they should get to stay in the life raft. And then after everyone's made their case and they start kind of arguing with each other, what we then would do is we would vote on who we think should get kicked out of the life raft. I have no idea what the point of this game is. Other than that, the universe is a cold, cruel place. So what would happen is, like, everyone's going to, like, try to make their case. And so the teacher's going to be like, well, if we make it to the desert island, I can teach our future children all of everything they'll need to know. And then the doctor is going to say, well, I can, like, fix people, even though the nurses are like, the nurses do all the work. But, like, the people in the life raft don't know that. And so they're like, okay, the doctor, that's called knowing your audience. And then the pastor doesn't really have much to say other than, like, God will be mad. And that's, like, all of his case, you know. And so that's how the game goes. It's a very weird game. But the reason that I'm telling you about it tonight is this, which is that I think the life raft game pretty accurately describes what our normal everyday life is actually like. So I have a theory. And my theory is this, is that in life, in some weird, hard to pin down way, we all are feeling like we're on a life raft and someone's going to get kicked off of it. And so our primary goal is to make sure the person who gets kicked off isn't us. And so when you think about it, this explains parking lots, which I bring up almost every time I speak, but it's because they're the worst. Like, parking lots are the example of this. There's a spot 50 feet away from that spot. It wouldn't take you that long to walk there and back. But the farther spot you get away, the more of a loser you are at the parking lot game, and you cannot lose. And so all of a sudden, there's like aggression and anger and like yelling that's happening. Maybe this is just me. But it's like parking lots get intense. And so it makes sense at work, right? And so at work, you find yourself getting really competitive, maybe, with your other coworkers. Or when that one person gets a promotion, all of a sudden you find yourself getting intensely jealous of that person. You start thinking bad things about them. You start thinking, like, well, why do they deserve the promotion? Like, I should have gotten it. And you start making a case for your own worth in your head. Why? Because it feels like not getting ahead, not getting that job, not getting that promotion is like your status on the life raft lowered, and you're terrified of getting kicked out. So for some of you, like, the way that you're trying to stay on the life raft is money. Like, from an early age, you decided you were going to try to make as much money as you possibly could. Some of you even have, like, a number in your head of what it is you're trying to reach. And when you hit that number, that's when you've arrived. That's when you know that your status on the life raft is secure. For some of you, it's the fear of missing out. Or, as I was told recently, FOMO, which is totally a thing. I'm old. I didn't know that. FOMO, fear of missing out. Like, this is apparently enough of a thing that people were saying it often enough they felt like they had to abbreviate it. What is it? What is it about that? I mean, it's totally a California thing of, like, you don't commit to anyone's party because a better party might open up at the last second. And so on Facebook, you have 5 yeses, 10 nos, 83 maybes because no one wants to actually commit. Why is it that when it comes to, like, potential things we could go and do on a weekend, but then also in other ways, with the person that we date, what if there's someone better out there? What's going on with that? Well, it's because we want to have the best status that we can on the life raft. See, the better party that we go to, or the more attractive the person we're dating, or whatever it is, whatever that fear of missing out is for you, it's about a life raft position, because you think, if I can have that, if I can get that, then my status on the life raft will be better. Relationally, we become terrified that someone's going to leave us. We're convinced that eventually that person's going to kick us out of the lifeboat, and we become jealous or clingy, controlling. Or because we're convinced they're eventually going to kick us out, we kick them out first to protect ourselves. Now, fortunately, the life raft syndrome never happens in church, right? I mean, we don't do that here. And like, churches never compete with each other, that's for sure. No one ever talks about, oh, I just go to that church, there's so much deeper there. Like, that's not a thing that any Christians would ever say. And I'll tell you, pastors never compare themselves to other churches. We don't have that problem whatsoever. And we definitely don't get into competitions about who's the best rule follower, right? Like, no, I'm a really good person. Like, if you saw my star list that I have for Jesus, like, it's really full today. Like, loser Larry over there, he only got 2 stars. I got all 5. And we start, based on our performance measure, we start judging people who can't hold to the performance that we can hold. They're lower on the life raft, and then we start on Facebook getting in wars with people with different ideologies or different metrics of how to measure if someone's good enough. Or maybe sometimes we get into this like thing of like, who can do the coolest spiritual magic trick, right? Of like, well, I can sing the song. Oh, that's no big deal. I can sing the song even louder with harmonies. And the other person said like, well, I can speak in tongues while the song's happening. Another person's like, I raised a person from the dead right now. Trump card, you know? It's like, and it's like, we just get into these contests where we're constantly trying to one-up each other. We come to church having to be perfectly put together, and like the makeup or the clothes or whatever has to be perfectly in place because we have to look our best. Not for God, he doesn't care, for everyone else, because we need to have a good spot on the spiritual life raft. Is there a better way than this? Do we have to live and a life raft mentality that creates fear and anger and jealousy, insecurity? Tonight we're gonna look at a passage from a guy named Paul. If you're not familiar with Paul, Paul, at one point in time, was persecuting the early church, the early followers of Jesus. He was throwing them in jail. He was killing them. Then he has this radical run-in with Jesus that changes his life forever. So Paul starts going all around the Roman Empire, and he's just starting churches everywhere he goes. So he would go hang out with a group of people, start a church there, then he'd leave to go to somewhere else. In this particular passage we're going to look at tonight, there's a church in Corinth that Paul had started. Then after he left, a bunch of other people came up and they started talking bad about Paul. And so these guys who are talking bad about Paul, they're really into the spiritual life raft game. They are saying like, no, listen, like, you're following that guy. That is not the guy you want to follow. We are so much smarter. We know way more. He's this, he's that, he's whatever. And so Paul hears about this, and he's writing back to the church in Corinth and responding. And I want us to look at how he responds to his critics. And right before this passage is like a chapter where he lays out all of his justifications why he would win the spiritual life raft game, if that's the game he was playing. And then we're going to pick it up here. This is 2 Corinthians 12. We'll have it up on the screen. Says, if I wanted to boast, I would be no fool in doing so, because I would be telling the truth. But I won't do it, because I don't want anyone to give me credit beyond what they can see in my life or hear in my message, even though I've received such wonderful revelations from God. So to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. 3 different times I begged the Lord to take it away, and each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. And if you're into, like, that's the part we're going to focus on here. So now, I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. Now, there's a lot of stuff in here we're not going to have the time to get to tonight. Thorn and flesh and Satan and what. Unfortunately, we just don't have time to unpack that part tonight. What I want to focus on and what we're going to spend the rest of the night focusing on here tonight is the radically different way that Paul saw existence. See, for Paul, he had had such an experience with God that it freed him from the idea of a life raft game being something that he would even participate in. He talks in there about God's grace. That's like the key part of it. He says that God told him, my grace is all that you need. What is grace? What does that mean? Maybe you're like me. That's like one of those words. You could probably use it in a sentence, but if someone is like, define that, you're like, and then you like, run away. So what does grace actually mean? Grace, here's one definition of it. I think this is pretty good. Undeserved kindness. Grace is undeserved kindness. So Paul has experienced the undeserved kindness of God in such a way that when these people show up and start accusing him and bad-mouthing him and trying to say, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about, that he says, like, okay, you want to play that game? I can win the game that way too if you want. But honestly, that game is foolishness. That game is stupid. Because here's what I've learned. I've learned that it's actually in my weaknesses that God's made strong. I've learned that because of the incredibly undeserved kindness of God, I don't even have to participate in this comparison game at all. This is ultimately the message of Jesus. The message of Jesus is this, and we talked about this 3 weeks ago. The message of Jesus is this: there's nothing you can do to deserve or earn or get anything that is not already offered to you freely through Jesus. All of the approval that you are searching for, that I am searching for, all of the desire to belong that we are looking for, everything that is driving us to say, I don't want to get kicked out of the life raft, I don't want to be rejected, I don't want to be left behind, everything that we would want is offered us through Jesus, where he says, you're declared good enough. Not because you've done anything to earn it, but just because through Jesus it's been offered to you freely. In Romans 3, we'll have this up on the screen, it'll say this: we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God freely and graciously declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. I love that part where it says, freely and graciously declares. And so, if you missed the talk back on Father's Day about 3 weeks ago, we spent the entire night just talking about that idea of, like, what does it mean to be in the Father's love in a way that, like, just frees you from trying to earn or deserve it? And so, we have a podcast. You can go on our website, cafusion.com. There's, like, an audio and video podcast. And I would encourage you, if you want to hear more about that, to go and check that out. Tonight, here's what I want to talk about. Rather than unpacking all of the amazingness of that, here's what I want to ask us tonight. If we really and truly believed as followers of Jesus that we were living in the undeserved kindness of God that was offered to us just free of charge, if we really truly believed that we had nothing left to prove or earn, that we could just live in the goodness of our Father in heaven, if we actually believed that, how would our life be different now? That's what I want us to look at for a few minutes. And so we're going to look at it from a few different point of views. Like for the first part, we're going to look at it from, like, how does that change your life individually as you go out from here? Then we're going to look at what does that mean for us here at Fusion? And then we're going to talk about what it means for the world outside our walls. And so I'm going to start with you. if you and I, and let's say if I could truly grab hold of the idea that the undeserved grace, the undeserved kindness of God has just been poured out on me, the first thing that would happen is I would start recognizing that in all the areas of my life where I'm afraid of getting kicked out of the life raft, where I feel this fear bubbling up that I have to justify my own self-worth, that I have to prove to people around me that I'm valuable enough, that I have to like fight for other people's attention, that I could just step back and be like, you know what? I'm declared good enough by God. I don't need this right now. And so my challenge for you tonight here at Fusion is this, is like, you can quit the life raft game. Did you know that? You don't have to do this anymore. Can you imagine how much better life would be if you were not constantly trying to validate your own existence? Like, how much more free could you walk tomorrow if you went into work and you were not worried about if you were going to be deemed good enough or not, because you knew that the undeserved kindness of your God in heaven was being poured out on you, and that he had you, and that it was going to be okay? What if you knew, really truly knew in your heart of hearts, that yes, that person might reject you, and yes, that would hurt, but you would not fall apart, that your life wouldn't be shattered, because the God of heaven would never have stopped loving you any less than he did before? You can quit the life raft game. And here's like, maybe you're thinking like, well, I don't even know. Like, you say I'm playing it, I'm not even sure. Here's how you can identify where you're getting into a life raft mentality. Where is anxiety, jealousy, or anger in your life? Like, where do you see one of those three things? And I'll even, like, I would encourage you to think about that right now. Where have you seen in the last week anxiety, jealousy, or anger in your life? Now, sometimes anger can be good if you're like, you know, protecting a puppy that's being harmed or something. Like, that's good anger. But I'm talking about an anger that's like directed at like, I'm being slighted, I'm being disrespected, that kind of thing. Anxiety, jealousy, and anger become warning signs for us that tell us, like, I'm buying into a life raft mentality. And so here's what I want you to do this week. As you notice one of those three emotions, and you're, for some of you, you're just going to have to, oh, I have emotions. I didn't even know that. Like, for some of you, you're going to have to do that first. But, like, start paying attention to what you're feeling. And as you notice one of those three popping up, ask yourself, where am I trying to justify my own existence right now? And how can I receive the undeserved kindness that I have from God instead? And so that's what that means for you and looks like for you tonight as you just go individually from here. I also want to talk about, what does that mean for us here at Fusion? What does that mean? Fusion, for those of you who don't know, this is our 18 to 35-year-old community here at Christian Assembly. We were started 10 years ago by a guy who's now one of our co-lead pastors. And the mission of Fusion is this. We want to see as many 18 to 35-year-olds as possible come to know and love Jesus and grow in their commitment to him. Like, that's what we're all about. So what does this mean for us, this living in a non-life raft, grace-only mentality in our life? Well, one of the things it means is this, is like, and I think we're good on this, but every once in a while I think it needs to be said. We're not in competition with other churches, just to be clear. If you're here tonight and you're trying to check out like what church you want to be a part of, there are 1,000 good churches in Los Angeles that you could go to. We hope this is one of them. We're trying to be. But here's the deal. If you're like thinking like, you know what? I just don't think this is where I'm landing. Come talk to anyone on our pastoral staff. We will tell you like 5 other good churches that are out there that you could go and get involved in. We're not in competition. There's not like a lack of people who need to know about Jesus in Los Angeles. Like, there's plenty of them. And so we're all going to work together on trying to do that. But here's what I would say within that. This is a little bit off topic, but I have the opportunity to say it, so I'm going to. Eventually commit somewhere. Don't buy into the shopping around church mentality of like, well, this church is doing this series, and this church has better worship, and this church has better teaching, and this church has all the attractive people, whichever church that is. And so you just bounce around, and you get like whatever you want from all the different churches, like some of this, some of that. And the idea, actually, it is kind of on topic, because it's a life raft mentality of like, I am going to benefit. I'm going to be higher up on the spiritual totem pole if I can get all the best from all these different things. Eventually commit somewhere. If you're a guest, if you're checking us out, you totally do not have to immediately get plugged in here. If you've been hanging out with us for a year and you still don't know anyone, we need to fix that. come talk to anyone of us on this team. John was here, me, Jill, who's out this week, but she would love to do that as well. We literally, our job security comes from you coming and asking us to get plugged in. They literally pay us to do that. Let us help you. And so if you're wanting to get connected, that's what we do. Come plant, be a part of what we're doing. So one thing that means for us is we're not in competition with other churches. The other one is this. We are about grace only here. We are not primarily about our pet theologies. And here's what I mean by that. Man, there are some people who... they're like, they talk a lot of like, oh man, I just want a church that goes deeper. I just want a church that has like deep theological teaching. It's like, I want someone who talks about the soteriological implications of Romans 7. And some of you just heard that sentence. You're like, oh, and like the rest of you are like, that sounds terrible. But like some of you out there, you're totally into that stuff. And there are some of you like, man, we just need more of the Holy Spirit here. And we just want to experience the Holy Spirit's gifts. Some of you just like want a church that's like outspoken and like just gets up here and talks about all the stuff that's going on in the world and takes a stand. And here's the deal. We need all of you here. Like, it's good that you're here. We balance each other out. And I love that about our church. We balance each other out well. We have so many people, some people who are just like wired for hospitality and just want community and want people to sit in circles and affirm each other. And that's awesome. Some of us are freaked out by that. And we just want like solid teaching that we can listen to because that's not personal and we don't have to feel things, right? We can just be like, oh, it's good. We need all those different personality types. The problem becomes whenever we think everyone else has to think like us. And here's the deal. There's only one thing that we're dogmatic about here, and that is the grace and the freedom of Jesus Christ. And that's it. If you're wondering what we're about as a church, we're about Jesus. We're about the fact that he died on a cross. We're about the fact that he rose again. We're about the fact that he sets people free. We're about the fact that there's nothing we can do. We're not good people. We're jacked up people who have been saved by Jesus, and we're so blown away by what he's doing in our lives that we're really excited and want other people to know about it. That's it. Like, that's what we're about. The other stuff's fine. It's worth talking about occasionally in private, but like we're not going to get into that stuff here. We are only about grace here. And then lastly, and we're going to land on this point tonight, here's what this means for us as Fusion as we head out into the world. Before I actually say that, I'm going to guide you through an exercise here. Show of hands. I'm going to ask you to show your hands here in a second. How many of you are here because at some point in time in your life, someone invited you to church? Raise your hand. And if you could keep them up for a second. Okay, so everyone, like, look around the room. There's a lot of hands being raised right now. So that's what, maybe like a fifth of the room? Okay. Another question. And by the way, I'm going to ask three questions, and I'm going to raise my hands for all of them because all three of them apply to me. And so don't make me feel like an idiot because I'm the only one with a hand raised, okay? How many of you, and this is for everyone, how many of you through Jesus are finding freedom from anxiety in your life? How many of you are finding freedom from addictions through Jesus? How many of you are finding freedom from lies from your past? Okay. So let me ask you a question. If that's true, and if a decent amount of us are here because someone invited us, why are we not telling more people about this? Like, do we really believe what we just saw? Do we really believe that Jesus actually does set people free? Do we believe that when the undeserved kindness of Jesus invades someone's world, that it actually does set them free from anxiety and from fear and from addiction and from the pains and wounds of the past? Do we actually believe that when Jesus steps into someone's story, he brings life and hope and peace? Do we believe that Jesus actually is the way, the truth, and the life? Do we believe that life can't be found outside of him? Do we believe it to the point that we're actually willing to tell other people about it? Do we? And like, I get it. It's terrifying to do. Like, it's scary for me. I know I'm supposed to say, like, I have 15 people that I've shared with in the last week. No, it's really hard. Like, for me, it's hard because I've done it wrong in the past. And I messed things up. And I really wish I could go back and undo some of the ways I tried to share Jesus with people before that was not very helpful. And because of that, I've like got this like thing of like, I never want to do that again. And there's a part of it, can we be honest? A part of the reason that we don't want to talk about Jesus to other people is because of the life raft. I mean, we're just so terrified of what's going to happen if we do. I mean, what if like at work, all of a sudden we're like the weird one now? Like, what if our family or our friends don't understand? What if we mess it up? What if they like look at us like we're stupid? Like, the idea of getting kicked out of the social life raft is one of the most terrifying things. The good news is this. If the idea of sharing Jesus with people feels terrifying to you, I have good news. According to the passage we just read, God's power is made strong in our weakness. If you're like, but I don't know what to say, I don't know how to do it, I don't know how to like talk about it, what if I screw it up? Like, God's power is made strong in your weakness. You're not the savior of other people. There's one savior, it's not you. You just like get to be the person who introduces people to the other person. Like, that's your job. Fusion, for those of you who are regulars here, I'm just going to be honest. I think we're a little weak in this area right now. We're doing great in some areas. Like, you come hang out at the cafe afterwards. The community here is beautiful. I love it. I love hanging out with you guys. And the way that we love each other and enjoy being around each other, I love it. The first time I was ever here when I was applying for this job, that was the thing that sold me on being here. I love the way we as a community come together and just hang out with each other. It's a really great thing. People find their place here. They find belonging. They find connection. It's so good. I don't know how great we're doing right now. And some of you are doing awesome. And if you're here and you're doing awesome, I'm not trying to pile like any sort of guilt or shame on you. Good job. I'm not trying to pile guilt and shame on anyone. I'm just being honest. I'm just being honest, and I'm being honest about me. Like, honestly, I've been afraid to even get up here and talk about it or lead Fusion somewhere because I'm not really sure how to do it. Like, I'm not sure what God's calling us as Fusion to go about and do. Like, how are we going to actually like make this a thing that we put into practice and happen? I'm not really sure. And so because of that, I've been reluctant to get up here and say, hey guys, I think this whole telling people about Jesus thing, we need to move forward on it. But I sense this. I sense that that is where God is calling us as a community next. Like, I think that's the next phase. I think that's where he's calling us. We can sit here and hang out together and sing awesome songs, and we can come together and encourage each other, and we can go into our life groups, and we can be great Christians who are great Christians with other people. But if like no one else hears about the good news of what he's doing here, what are we doing? Like, we live in one of the most influential cities in the world. The ability that we have as Jesus steps in, for those of you, whether you're nurses or whether you are working in retail or whether you're working in the Hollywood industry, wherever you're at, like, the level of potential influence you have in that area for God to step in through your obedience and change other people's lives is huge. And I think what needs to happen is not that all of a sudden we have to be able to like flip to like 18 Bible verses and like argue with people. I don't think that's what we need to do. I think we just need to get so in love with Jesus that we decide we're more excited about other people knowing about that than we are getting kicked out of the life raft. And I think once we start doing that, the Holy Spirit's going to show up in power here. I got serious. All right. And so what does that mean? So we'll close with this. There's two things that this means for us tonight. And the first is this, and this is brand new up until 2 days ago. I wasn't even planning on mentioning this tonight. We're looking into this thing called Alpha Course, and some of you might have some experience or know about that. Basically what this is it's a 10-week class or a 10-week group study or whatever you want to call it. And it's designed to basically be a place for people who are journeying through faith, who are asking questions, who are seeking to show up and just in community talk about like, what is God? What is faith? What is the Bible? What is all this stuff? It's designed to be conversant with people who have questions, is my point. We're considering the possibility of doing some of that here at Fusion. I've got a couple people I've talked to who are interested in that. Here's what we're thinking about doing. We're thinking about basically just getting a group of people together and going through that class together and kind of learning how it works. And the idea would be this, is that after you go through that class, you then go and you do an alpha course with your friends or at your work or something like that. I'm not convinced that this is the right thing. I'm not convinced that it's going to be amazing, but I think this is what's going on. I think there are some of you out there who have friends you deeply care about and you want them to hear about Jesus, but you don't know how to go about it. And this is one potential way that we can get after that. And so here's, if you're hearing this, like honestly, I think I'm right now only looking for about 8 to 10 people who would say they'd want to be a part of that. And so if you're here tonight, you're thinking like, yeah, I would want in on learning about that so I could then maybe take that to my friends or work or whatever. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to email me in the next couple of days at joshp, J-O-S-H-P at cachurch.com. And just let me know. It could just be something, something, alpha course, something, and I'll know what that means, and I'll get back to you, okay? And again, there's only about 8 or 10 people, so if you're thinking that's something you want in on, just let me know right away. So that's the first thing. The second thing is this, and this is something, if you're a regular part of our community, I'm going to ask everyone to participate in this. And so if you do me a favor, some of you are already doing this, could you take out your phones? Shame on you. So here's what's cool about smartphones. Pretty much all of them have calendars or alarms, or there's a lot of different ways to do it. And so here's what I'm going to ask for those of you who are a regular part of our community. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you for this coming week to set an alarm that's going to go off once a day. And so mine's going to be set for 12 noon, and I'm going to have that set for every day this week, the next 7 days. And you can set that for whatever time you want. You might want to pick that strategically. Like, don't have, like, you know, some, like, you're the best around going off whenever you're in, like, a serious meeting or something like that. Make sure that you time this well where you can stop and you can actually pray. Because here's what I want you to do. When that alarm goes off every day for the next 7 days, I want you to stop and pray this. God, would you show Fusion and would you show me how to spread your grace to the city around us? Or something like that. And so what I'm going to ask, and I'm really asking all of you to do this. Like, I'm really asking this. I'm pleading with you to do this. Like, just pray. Like, you don't even have to do anything else. Like, that's up between you and God. But just pray, God, would you show Fusion and would you show me how to spread your grace to the city around us? And we're going to see what happens. We are trusting that in the same way that we do not have to like earn or deserve or scramble to try to earn our place in life, we also believe that like God is going to use Fusion and he's going to direct it and he's going to make it clear and we don't have to stress out about that. So we are going to intentionally pray to him and ask us, how can we be the light to the city around us? And then we're going to sense what we think he's saying and we're going to say yes. Sound good? Okay. So here's what I want us to do. Let's end tonight this way. Let's just end tonight for the first day just praying what I just asked you guys to pray every day this week. And so if you'd pray with me. And would you just pray this like quietly to yourself? God, this is a scary thing for me to pray, but would you show me how to spread your love to the people around me? And maybe for those of you here who you know someone that's just already, during this talk, you've already been thinking about this person. You're like, yep, that's the person that I want to know Jesus. Just pray for that person. Like, God, that life change that we just saw, like when I saw all those hands go up, I want to see that happen to my friend. Could you change my friend's life, please? Could you help them find your undeserved kindness, your grace that's just poured out? And then would you pray for Fusion? Would you pray that God would give us as a church a sense of how he wants us to intentionally share his love with other people. And I'll be honest, in that prayer, would you pray for me and would you pray for our Fusion team? Would you pray that God would give us wisdom and that we would like sense where he's at work and say yes to him? And then tonight, if you're here and like this has kind of been a weird night for you because you're like one of those people or you're not sure where you're at with Jesus, like if you can just pray a simple prayer like this, like, God, if you really are that good, would you show me? And the rest of us in this room, would you just pray for anyone in this room tonight who needs to know and be in relationship with God? God, I think my problem has been that I think I lost a sense of wonder about who you are. Like at some point in time, I stopped really like imagining and envisioning and like getting excited about seeing you change people's lives. And I lost my drive, my hunger for it, I think. And I feel you stirring that back up in me recently. You've been reminding me, God, your grace is amazing. Like I used to be broken and lost and now I'm found. God, you continue to be so kind to me even when I'm so far away. I've seen the goodness that you keep pouring out in my life. I've seen you do that in other people. God, would you and your grace be so amazing to us as a community, would be so gripped by your undeserved kindness that it would compel us to tell other people about you. And we pray this in your name, Jesus.